Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Even as NYU is locked in a battle with its neighbors over expanding its campus, another university in the village, the New School, is set to open its brand new University Center at 14th Street and 5th Avenue and is inviting the public to a party to celebrate. David Van Zandt, the president of the New School, joins me now to talk about the new building, what it means for the university and the state of higher education in the city, and we'll get into some other higher education questions as well. Always good to have an opportunity to talk to a university president. David Van Zandt, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And so people know what we're talking about. The New School has been a university without a center in many ways. It's made up of seven separate institutions, and I think a lot of New Yorkers don't even realize the other institutions which have become part of the New School. So there's the original School for Social Research, founded by progressive educators once upon a time. But then there's the Parsons School of Design, the Manus College of Music is part of the New School now, a drama school, the School of Public Engagement, that's Milano, and a school for jazz. So,
and a liberal arts college as well,
and
Eugene
Lang.
Yeah.
That's right. And so that's quite an institution in New York at this point.
Yeah, it is an amazing place, and it's got a wonderful history. And it's gone through different stages throughout its life, and we're right now on the cusp of the new one.
How many students at the New School overall?
About 10,000 full-time students, then a range of continuing ed students.
So how will the new building bring these seven areas under one roof, literally or figuratively, or is that not the mission of the building?
No, the mission of the building is to help us integrate our academic programs and bring everything under one roof. It's the last time we had a single building was 1933, in which all the programs participated. And with the new building, we'll be able to have Parsons students interacting with Eugene Lang students, Manus students, as well as students from Milano and other programs that we have.
Tell us about the building itself. It was designed by Skidmore, Owens & Merrill, the firm behind many New York City architectural structures, from Lever House to One World Trade Center. And I understand the staircase is a big feature of the building. I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, well, you can see it just walking down the street from the outside. The idea behind it is the traffic in the building goes along the skin of the building on both the 5th Avenue side, the 14th Street side, as well as a bit on the 13th Street side. The building itself is very different than our other buildings. Our other buildings tend to be office buildings converted for academic use. This building is wide open, big open spaces. We have some 50 large studios, classrooms, performance spaces throughout. And the other interesting thing about it is there are no offices. It's not an administrative building. It's a building for the students. There is a cafeteria, a big cafeteria. There's also study space on the seventh floor for students, as well as a large auditorium that both be used both for the school but also for community events.
I read where passersby were a little concerned that the wavy column design element was a flaw in construction, and the city buildings department got some calls.
Yes, they did. We got a bunch of calls about that. Because of the design, a number of the girders are bent, and people said, oh, my gosh, it's going to fall down. No.
Not going to fall down. Listeners, if you want to talk to David Van Zandt, president of the New School, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Maybe you live in the village or work there and you've seen this building going up over the last few years. Maybe you're a New School student or faculty member, want to talk about some university stuff. Maybe you want to talk about higher ed in general in New York or in general, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can also see an image of this New School University Center on our page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. You were dean of the law school at Northwestern for 15 years before you took this job, right?
I was. And people ask me, oh, why are you taking this job with a fashion school and social science and all sorts of different things? I thought it was a tremendous opportunity to come and to be on the cutting edge. we all know what's happening in the economy today. The rewards are going to the people who are more creative and innovative, regardless of you know, what that does to the income distribution, which is a whole other social issue. The reality is that in order to get ahead today, you have to be very creative. I saw the New School, particularly with Parsons and its other parts, is really being able to train students for that. Design is all of it's really a cultural, social thing. It's all about how do we make things better for people interacting with objects, other people, or their environments. And design holds the promise. But to do it well, you have to understand society and culture very well. We have those aspects as well. In fact, we're the only major university in the world with a large design, comprehensive design school nestled in with a good social science and liberal arts.
And getting back to the design for a minute, it also includes a dormitory, this building at 14th and 5th, the Carey Tower, named for your predecessor as president, former Nebraska senator and one-time presidential hopeful Bob Carey. Has the New School had dormitory space before? I think a lot of people think of it as a place for, you know, continuing education classes. Right. You know, you live on the Upper West Side and you say, oh, I'm going to take a class at the New School so-and-so.
Yeah, no, coming to New York, it's rare for me to run into someone in the city who hasn't had a friend or themselves taken a course at the New School. But most of our programs are now full-time programs, both for – we're about half undergraduate, half graduate students. And that new dorm is a spectacular addition. We do have other dorms. But this is sort of the best of them. In fact, I had a student in my office the other day who's a senior who just moved into that dorm back in August, and he said that this is going to be the best place he's going to live in for the next 10 years.
Of course, Bob Carey, who that dorm is named after, his tenure as university president was marked by student protests and occupations because of his position on Iraq and other things. Were you brought in to quiet things down?
I wasn't here before all that happened. I'm just here to do my job, which is to pull the academic parts of the university together. And given what's happening out in the outside world and the importance of design and socially based design to what's happening today.
How about the history of the school with respect to its tradition of being aligned with dissident politics? It was founded by progressives after World War I. Mm-hmm. It added a graduate school of scholars fleeing Italy and Germany in the 30s. Does that still attract students who might be more likely to take political action or who have a certain political bent? Or does it also influence, you know, the courses that are given or the nature of the education?
You know, I think it's really interesting, Brian, me arriving here and I began to talk to people. People here, whether it's staff, students, or faculty, are here because of the New School, their view of the New School's history and what it did in standing out there for being a creative. Sometimes it is challenging the political status quo that's important to people. Other times it's being creative in other areas. But no matter what it is, we have a group of people, faculty, students, and staff who really want to change and make improvements, and that's a very attractive part of the university.
All right. We have people calling in for you. My guest, if you're just joining us, David Van Zandt, president of the New School, on the occasion of the new University Center opening at 14th Street and 5th Avenue. And before we go to the phones, we should just say that there's going to be an open to the public moment here, right?
Yes, absolutely. On next Saturday, a week from this coming Saturday, at noon, we will have an open house where the public is invited in and allowed to walk through. There'll be a number of displays of student work throughout the building, as well as some performance entertainment. So I hope anybody who's in the area or come from outside, come and join us on Saturday.
Ann in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you? I really enjoy listening to you during the week.
Thank you.
I lived in on St. Mark's Place in 3rd Avenue from 1977 to 2005. When I first got my apartment, it was $165 a month for a railroad apartment. I lived through the expansion of the schools, most notably NYU, and have what I described to the person who interviewed me before speaking to you, a kind of a bitter resentment that they are trying and have succeeded in creating a private club of a lot of downtown Manhattan. Yet I feel very different about the New School. I have a lot of artist friends in visual arts or performing arts, And by their activities and their studies, I can see that the new school is more interested in expanding into the community rather than expanding and pushing the community away into peripheral, I don't know where they want to send us.
I'm going to leave it there and get a reaction. So this is exactly what you hope to hear from people, even if they resent NYU, and you know how controversial NYU's real estate history has been in the neighborhood, that they don't see you in the same light.
You know, I can't speak about NYU, but the new school's history right from the beginning was about being open to the public. In fact, the original moniker for it was Educating the Educated. And they took in people from Greenwich Village, but also the wider part of New York, and opened their arms to people to come and get more education. So that's thank you very much, Anne. But that's exactly what we'd like people to think about us, because it's true.
And my understanding is that while NYU is still battling critics over its expansion plans, and the latest court ruling last week will require them to get state legislative approval for some of their building, dreams. The new school changed the building design to not require zoning waivers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. When we first, and again, I was not here when it happened, but my predecessor, when this first started, the idea came, there was a larger building that would have required some variances. There was discussion, though, reaching out to the members of the community around. We've paid special attention to that over the years. And because of those discussions, we scaled back a bit the plans for the building. So it's now within our footprint.
What did you have to give up to not have a protracted battle?
I think it was a few square feet. I don't remember exactly what the original size was. It's now 375,000 square feet. So it was done. But we've tried to keep the lines of communication open with the community even to this day. And we do. You know, occasionally things happen on the work site that cause a little noise or something. But we try to address those as fast as possible.
Not everybody is pleased. Charlene in the Village, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. First call in 40 years or something. I don't know what community you're talking about, sir, but my community, I live on 11th Street and 5th Avenue, has been irate and had impelled to have meeting after meeting for years and years. What you have constructed, what Skidmore Owens has constructed, is Soviet brutalism without the concrete. The building eclipses 5th Avenue on that side. 14th Street is less important. 13th Street folks never had respite for years during the construction. So you gave up a very few hundred square feet, if that. And we have a monster sitting, which has no...
What makes it a monster, too? Is it the height?
It's the bulk. It's not the height so much. The height is not the sin. It's the bulk. The glass can be used very effectively, as we see in Tully Hall. I'm a person whose family were builders, and Pietro Belusky, who was dean of architecture at MIT for years and years, was our family friend. I think I know how to look at buildings. Mm. At least I think I always have. And it's grotesque. And then there's a splattered the new school, in case we didn't get the point.
So the whole thing is out of scale with
out
the neighborhood, as you see.
And leans over into 5th Avenue.
And you don't like the branding. What do you say to Charlene?
Well, I understand, Charlene. Anytime you do something creative or innovative, in whether it's architecture or anything else, there are going to be people who like it and people who don't like it. And I can certainly understand your point of view, but I'm afraid I respectfully disagree about at least the aesthetics of the building.
Charlene, thank you very much. Barry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. The new school has always been at the forefront of beautiful new architecture, beginning with Joseph Urban's building on 13th Street in 1933. I think this building is brilliant. I had a chance to interview the architect, Roger Tuffy, for the Westview News for an article that was published in October. And a building which I thought was eccentric and defied any stylistic definition turned out to be very original. And Roger took me through the building during construction and explained how these pleated glass windows were designed not to be funny or cute or whimsical, but rather to bring light into the interior and have the students experience the city around them. So it interfaced beautifully with its neighborhood. Stairways, he did a brilliant thing. Fireproof stairs always enclosed in concrete in the center of the building. He was able to find a fireproof, fire-tempered glass and place the fire stairs on the outside of the building and then lace the public stairs in between them. He opened up his library as a two-story element, blending the dormitory above with the school facilities below. I think it's a brilliant building. Its appearance on the street is exciting. The diagonal trusses that come out the side explain how the building works. It's a true piece of functional and beautiful architecture.
Barry, thank you very much. I don't think Barry and Charlene are going out to lunch anytime soon.
I must say, just to follow up to Barry's point, when I first arrived, it was only a hole in the ground, and all we had was a little box model of it. I thought it was not the most attractive thing. But as that building went up, particularly the undulations on the sides and the exterior walls, the stairways you're talking about, it's an amazing building. And I think Roger Duffy and Skidmore Owings did a great job.
What's the tuition at the new school these days?
Tuition at the new school is in the range of $40,000, $41,000 before financial aid.
Before financial aid, and also before room and board.
Before room and board as well.
So
right. It's
up there with the other private institutions in the country.
Yeah, we are a private institution, a tuition based private institution, and they're expensive these days.
There is so much discussion about that now, of course, partly because families are feeling the squeeze in such a big way, partly because there's a big debate in Washington about the extent and the nature of college aid. There's been some talk recently that universities should be held more accountable by the federal government if money is going to go to them, either for research or for whatever, or student aid is going to go to the students, which then go to the schools. Do you think universities are held accountable enough for spending money wisely and holding down tuition to the extent possible?
I think right now the pressure is on, and the pressure is not coming just from the federal government, but it's also coming from the students and their parents. I think it's our obligation as a private school or as any institution is to demonstrate some added value for what people pay. And I agree, it's a very high price in terms of the education. We are trying, where we work very hard. In fact, the only sort of organized offices in the new building are our career services offices, helping place students in positions around, because that's, at the end of the day, what we're really about is trying to prepare people for a future.
And with a school of design in your university, it makes sense to incorporate the latest, hippest architecture, I guess, but with tuition and student debt rising, is taking on the expense of a major new building the best way to serve the students? I assume that at least some of that cost will fall on them and their parents.
Yeah. Well, the building itself, the cost will not change in the sense that our tuition rate has gone up at a slower rate than the average nationwide, even through this building and going forward. The positive thing about the building is it does improve the education, bring everybody together. It's also allowed us to consolidate down all of our programs in one place. Manus, Music Conservatory you mentioned, is moving down in the fall of 2015.
So the building on the Upper West Side is closing?
Yes, it is, along with our fashion building, which just closed, which is on 40th Street and 7th Avenue. That just closed, and the fashion program will be starting in the new building.
Ken in Union Square, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm excited that the construction is completed, and it's been a very long process.
Me too.
My question concerns for David concerns the lighting plan for the building, because of the it's just unusually bright at night, and whether there's any changes as construction ends that lighting those emergency stairwells throughout the night. Is there any plan to dim them? And does the building utilize the most energy savings features in terms of somebody enters a stairwell, then the lights get brighter. Otherwise, they're not so bright all through the night.
Ken, thank you.
14th Street and Fifth Avenue.
And sure. I should mention that we're getting a number of calls and comments about the lights.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's been we have heard the community on that. Particularly, though, as construction's been going on, they had very bright construction lights in there, and those are slowly being taken out as the building opens up. It will put off some light, I agree, but hopefully we'll work with the community to be sure that's appropriate. The building itself is a LEED Gold building. It's extremely energy efficient. It has all sorts of systems in place to save energy.
That's the standard scale for green buildings.
Exactly.
So platinum would be the highest, then there's gold, and it goes down from there.
Yeah, I don't know what's below that. So, but our building is really quite quite good in that area. So we the New School, one of its main themes is about sustainability. We are about urban design throughout the world, and in order to have effective cities, they have to be sustainable, as we all know. And that's one of our stronger programs is to talk about sustainability design.
Before you go, when you were dean of Northwestern Law School, I believe you made changes to admission requirements.
Mm-hmm.
What was the heart of that? Because I know the people took notice of that.
The heart of it, there were really two things. One is that we required interviews of all of our students coming in, which is very unusual in law school. Other kinds of programs do that. And the second was by the end of my time there, it was pretty much impossible to get into the school unless you had at least 2 years of 2 to 3 years of post-college work experience. Because we found that students going out from law school and the legal industry is a tough industry right now. People going out from there, they were much more effective and much more marketable, employable if they had some real-world experience outside of law and doing other things.
First, in other words, are you saying you tended to take people who had other kinds of professional experience?
That's what we wanted. We wanted non-legal professional experience. We wanted people in a job for 2 to 3 years where they could begin to develop some ability to work with other people, to take on – manage projects very effectively. We actually frowned a bit on just being a paralegal in a large law firm because that was not necessarily the kind of experience we wanted.
But that would bias you against taking kids who are graduating from undergraduate school – and wanting to go right on to law school.
Absolutely. And we would often have people who wanted desperately to go in, and I'd have to sit in my office and say, well, you're much better off. You can still come to Northwestern in a couple of years, but go get that job for a while, and you'll be much better. You'll get much more out of your legal education.
Law school is facing a bit of a crisis right now. In fact, some law schools are talking about instituting 2-year law programs instead of 3-year law programs. I guess that's in part so, you know, the tuition overall would be more affordable in relation to what people are expected to make in their careers. Do you like that idea?
Well, actually, when I was there, we did institute an accelerated JD, a 2-year JD. We were the first of the major law schools to do that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the real savings is the opportunity cost of being out of the workforce for an entire year, which 3 years of law school required.
And are lawyers as well qualified after 2 years than after 3 years?
Well, in our program, it was consolidated into people went for 18 straight months in the first period. So they basically came out with the same number of credits. I think changes even in that area need to be made in legal education.
Shorter but more intense.
Yeah.
David Van Zandt is president of the New School. Just tell us again before you go about the open house for the new building, which is officially opening next week at 14th and 5th.
Right. A week from this coming Saturday at 12 noon, we start with an open house, and I ask you to please join us. Please join us.
That's going to be noon to 4 next Saturday, January 25th. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Isaac Asimov made predictions 50 years ago about what the future would be like 50 years hence. Well, here we are. We'll see how close he came. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll follow up and take your predictions for what life will be like 50 years from now. And then we'll get another update on the Bridgegate scandal, which is continuing to unfold this morning with New Jersey Public Radio's Sarah Gonzalez. Stay with us.